Praise the Lord, everyone. Tonight, I want to read to you from the Gospel of Matthew. In the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 16, here is an unusual setting. Against a Roman backdrop, Jesus posed the greatest question ever asked mankind. Beginning at verse 13 in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 16, the Bible says, when Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremias, or one of the prophets. He saith unto them, but whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee, that thou art Peter, and upon this rock, the rock of the truth he had just spoken, not Peter himself, but the truth he had spoken, upon this rock or this truth, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. From this particular text, I simply want to draw a conclusion and make a statement, and that statement is the title of this message. We are the church. Would you say to your neighbor, we are the church. Say, I am the church. Say, you are the church. Say, we are the church. Would you lift your hands, your voices, and your hearts, and would you pray with me before you are seated? Lord Jesus, tonight, I thank you for the wonderful privilege of being here. I praise you for great men of God. I praise you for great saints of God that are in this place. Will you tonight, by the power of your Spirit, will you, O Master of the universe, come upon us, open our minds with revelation and understanding, stir up the gift that is inside of us, help holy boldness to come upon us, take away all fear. Help us to shake loose the weights that do so easily beset us. Anoint us now to hear and to speak. We will not fail to give you the praise, the glory, and the honor. We ask these things in Jesus' blessed and wonderful name. And everyone said, amen. The Lord bless you. You may be seated. Do you have enough strength left to clap one more time? If you will clap your hands, and if you will shout unto the Lord with a voice of triumph, suddenly faith will rise among us in this house. And because Jesus is here, anything is possible. Anything can happen in the presence of the Holy Ghost that is in this house. You can suddenly be healed just as easily as you feel Him. Your mind can be delivered and set free. Suddenly, your head can clear. Your soul can be set free. Would you do it one more time? Every man, every woman, every young person, would you clap with all of your might? And would you shout unto the Lord with a voice of triumph? For surely God is in this house. I am and have been for the past several years possessed with the thought, with the attention, that a man gave to the very hour that we are living in. In the 1600s, there was a man who lived. This man had some kind of contact with God. In his own writings, he said, there are more sure marks of authenticity in the Bible than in any profane history. He went on to say prophetically about the time of the end, a body of men or people will be raised up who will turn their attention to the prophecies of the Bible and will insist upon their literal interpretation in the midst of much clamor and opposition. May I take the liberty to say here tonight of us that I believe with all of my heart that we are that body of people raised up in the last hours who will insist upon the literal interpretation of the scriptures, and we will insist that the Bible is the word of God, that there is a God, there is a devil, there is a hell, there is a heaven, and that God is alive, that He is not some figure of our imagination, but that He lives, and that we will cling tenaciously to every word written in the Holy Writ, that the Bible is true, but the scholars are wrong, and that the Bible is the anvil that has worn out many hammers, but it lives on. And as Napoleon said, the Bible is no mere book. It is a living creature that will destroy all who oppose it and trifle with its contents. The Bible is the Word of God. It is the divine revelation from omnipotence and deity that has come down to man. We understand tonight that His name is Jesus, and that He will save His people from their sins. I personally tonight, I am glad that I am one of them. I am glad to be on the defense team for this man called Jesus. He is the best thing that has ever happened to any of us. And his name is the most powerful word or name that can be uttered by human lips. Would you lift your hands and would you simply say, Jesus? Would you do it again? Would you do it one more time? Something wonderful happens at the mention of His name. The tentacles of darkness loosen. The grip of Satan is torn away. The captive goes free. Diseases depart. And liberty comes to the people of God. It's all in the name. It's all in the name. Would you shout it one more time? Again, clap as you are seated. I feel the glory of the resurrected one in this house tonight. In spite of all that I am saying here tonight, as emphatically and as positively as I can, yet we live in a society in which mainline Christianity is beginning to lose the great concepts and precepts upon which their particular and individual denomination was founded and born. For there are those that call themselves Christian, and they are classified in the mainstream Christian denominational groups. But they are beginning to say, we do not believe in the virgin birth. We believe it's only just a myth. And there are others who are saying, we do not believe that Jesus walked on the water. There was a sandbar there, and from a distance it looked like He was walking on the water. There are others who say that they do not believe that Jesus multiplied the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes. That really people just got together and shared their basket lunches that they brought as they thought about coming to hear Him and knew the press and the multitude would be there. They say it really wasn't the multiplication of the food, but it was really just the sharing of picnic lunches. And then there are others who are taking the blood out of the hymnals and out of their preaching and out of their catechisms, because their statement is, we do not want a slaughterhouse religion. We do not want to belong to a bloody religion. But I am here tonight to tell you for you, that we believe that there really was a virgin birth, that when the fullness of time had come, when the fullness of time had come, suddenly omnipotence and deity overshadowed human frailty, and from that overshadowing there was a child born, and the angel said, I reiterate, his name shall be called Jesus, and he will save his people from their sins. Jesus was a fusion of omnipotence and deity. We do believe in the virgin birth. Not only do we believe that he walked on the water, but he made the water upon which he walked. Not only did he divide the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes, but he made the fish that swam in the waters he created. He made the grain from which the grain was ground and the flour came to make the bread. He made the fire in which the bread was baked. And I'm here tonight to tell you, not only do we want a slaughterhouse religion, we've got a slaughterhouse religion because he was the lamb slain from the foundation of the world. His blood is more powerful than any sin or combination of sins. The power is in the blood. The power is in the blood. The power is in the blood. His blood flows to the highest mountain. It flows to the lowest valley. I've been covered with it. And I've been redeemed by it. It's in the blood. It's in the blood. The power is in the blood. If you concur with me, would you shout with your voice? Would you jump up and down? Would you clap your hands? Or whatever your thing is. Yes. Something wonderful has just walked in. Something powerful has just come upon us. There's a blanket of blood. There's a blanket of faith. I don't care where you've been, what you've done. Deliverance is in the house tonight. You can suddenly be set free right there where you are seated or right there where you are standing. This Jesus is able to do anything, everything, and all things. Nothing shall be impossible to them that believe. But there are so many voices. Everyone say voices. There are so many voices in this hour. There are so many indecisions in this hour. There are so many things bombarding the child of God in this hour. So many different philosophies, so many different schools of thought come walking down the road of our lives daily. But I'm here tonight to declare unto you that there are some things you don't need to pray about. It's already settled in the Word of God. There are some things you don't need to fast about. It's already settled in the Word of God. You say, but I had a dream. I don't care what you dreamed. It's already been settled in the Word of God. You say, but I had a vision. Scrap your vision. It's already been settled in the Word of God. You say, but my mom told me. I don't care what your mom told you. It's already been settled in the Word of God. But my dad told me. I don't care what your daddy told you. It's already been settled in the Word of God. But my preacher said. I don't care what your preacher said. It's already been settled in the Word of God. It's already been settled in the Word of God. Say, I've got that. Say, I've got that. Say, I've got that. Say, I understand. Yes. Yes. education and intellect is at a premium in this hour. Everybody's getting degrees. I'm not against education. I'm not against advancing oneself. But I can tell you authoritatively tonight that education and intellect by itself is not where it is. Let them study geology. I can study the Rock of Ages. Let them study horticulture. I can study the true vine. Let them study astrology. I can study the bright and the morning star. Let them study forestry. I can study the tree of life. Let them study oceanology. I can study the water of life. Let them study medicine. But I know the dear and glorious physician. His name is Jesus of Nazareth. He's the Rock of Ages. He's the true vine. He's the bright and morning star. He's the tree of life. He's the water of life. He is the best physician of his kingdom. There shall never be an end. Of his kingdom, there shall never be an end. Say, I'm part of that. Say, I'm part of that. Punch your neighbor and say, you're part of that. Punch him again and say, get with it. Act like it. Look at somebody else and say, do you know who you are? I wonder, do we really know who we are? Do we really understand who we are? Do we really understand what it is that's alive inside of us? Do we understand and know tonight that this Jesus, the same yesterday, today, and forever, that he is alive inside of us, that he is not dead, but he's got our hands and our feet, he's got our tongues, he's got our lips, he's got the channel of authority through us. Why can I be so emphatic tonight? Why can I be so insistent? Because we are the church. Say, I am the church. We've got to wake up to this. We've got to come to grips with this. We're not just another religion. We are the church. We are the church. I can feel revelation in this house. I can feel something beginning to stir inside of us tonight. Say it again. Say, I am the church. Say, it is that. Say, another that is not coming. This is that. Now say, I got that. That ought to put a fire inside of you. That ought to relate to what he's talking about here tonight. There is something in us that transcends human logic and reasoning and understanding. This is the most powerful force on the face of the entire earth, and it's capsuled inside of us, and God wants it to get out. God wants this to get out of us. But he's got to have cooperation. That's what you're here in school for. You're trying to learn how to get this out of you into the highways and the byways. That's why you pour into them what you pour into them. You're trying to get it out. God didn't save any of us to be a wallflower or an appointment. He saved you and he saved me so we could save somebody else. That's the only reason you were ever saved. And if you're not a soul winner, you've missed the whole point here. The heathen, The heathen said of the Hebrew children in the Old Testament, God is with this people. The world knew it. Their clothes did not wear out. Their shoes grew with their feet. Their pants legs lengthened down as their legs grew, if you please. They had the pillar of fire. They had the cloud. They had the bread. They had the water. That pillar of fire was there because they were Jews. Abraham is our father, they said. I am a Jew. But the Bible says they were moved upon by the Holy Ghost. Holy men of old spake as they were moved upon. But compare that, in spite of all their boldness and declarations, compare that with this. I am not just moved upon by the Holy Ghost. John the Baptist was moved upon by the Holy Ghost, as all the prophets before him were. But when God got done with him and lifted from him in prison, John no longer knew exactly what the details were. Because when his disciples came to him after they had visited, and as they were leaving, John said to his disciples, he said, go find this Jesus, this cousin of mine, and ask him if he is the one that was to come, or do we look for another? Once the anointing lifted from him and God was done with his mission, he no longer had the authority or the revelation or the insight, because the boldness was not there. But when the anointing was there, he looked at multitudes and he pointed to Jesus and he said, behold the Lamb of the God, behold the Lamb of the world, which taketh away the sins of the world. He must increase, but I must decrease. He will baptize you with the Holy Ghost and fire. He preached it like a wild man. He preached it like a wild man. But when the anointing lifted from him, when God was finished with him as all those who had preceded him, he no longer knew if Jesus was the anointed one that was to come or not. But compare that to us. This Jesus said to those of us in the church age, he said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. You are sealed. You're going to be sealed with my spirit. Once I get inside of you, I'm never going to get out of there. I'm going to sleep with you. I'm going to go to work with you. I'm going to go to church with you. I'm going to live inside of you. People, he does not just move upon us. We are sealed with the Holy Ghost. We are sealed with the Holy Ghost. And add to that this. He said, what I do, you will do also. He said, greater things than these will you do, because you have the Comforter. He said, the Comforter will come. Say, I've got that. Say, I've got it. Say, oh Holy Ghost, be stirred in me tonight. That's it. That's it. You've heard some of the greatest preaching all week long, but now we're at the last night. Now we can stir it. You can stay here all night if you want. We'll carry you out of here drunk, because there's nothing coming after this. So you can do what you want to do. Say, I want to. Say, I want to. Hallelujah. Jesus of Nazareth, I worship you. Nudge your neighbor again and say, do you feel what I feel?
I worship you.
Jesus, I worship you. All the church has, say all the church has, when we stand before a crowd, we are supposed to have all of that to give to them. Because we are one with Him. Everything that was in Israel belonged to the Jew. Everything that is in the church belongs to us. Anyone that came inside the borders of Israel and the Jew wanted to is the key. If a Jew wanted to, he could give him some bread. He could give him some water because he had it to give. And if a stranger became circumcised, he could become an heir. They could have all they wanted because it belonged to them. We. Say me. Say I. We are that upper room crowd. We are. We are that drunken bunch. Sometimes I preach a message. Step up to the bar. The drinks are on the house. The Bible says, be not drunken with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Indicative that there is a comparison. There's a likeness here. So tonight, you can get slap happy drunk on the Spirit of Almighty God. Because in common everyday street vernacular, drinks are on the house. All you got to do is step up to the bar. You can drink as much as you want. It's not going to cost you anything, and you can have all you want. Nobody's going to stop you. Say, I'm drinking. Say, I'm drinking. Say, I'm drinking. And some of you are, and you can feel that something, that euphoria that begins to come over you after you've had a couple of shots. I want to tell you something here tonight. This whole drug scene is a mess, but they've missed the mark. You want to see some real mainliners? We are mainliners. We are addicted. And the reason we have come here tonight is because we've come to get a fix. We've come here to get a fix. And the fix is in the house. His name is Jesus. Yes. Hallelujah! Revival! Revival is not coming! Revival is here! Revival is here! I can hear the sound of the rushing mighty wind! I can hear the crackle of cloven tongues of fire! And it's not a mountain that's shaking. It's human beings that are shaking. As the Spirit of the Holy One from Israel is beginning to settle down upon mankind. The fivefold ministry is being restored to us. Why wouldn't God use us? We have been faithful to His name all of these years. Why do you think, and I've been doing this really extensively and emphatically, I insist on it, I've done it for the last couple of years. Why do you think I constantly try to get people, our people, to say, I've got it, I'm one of them, I'm a believer, get with it? The reason is because if we could ever stir up the gift that is inside of us, there is no telling what would happen. And there is a law of confession in your tongue. What you give your voice to will come walking down the road of your life. People who are negative, that is faith in reverse. You could give some people a donut and all they'd ever see is the hole, because that's where their head is. I don't see the hole. I see the frosting. I see the cake, and I want more. Yes! When you begin to stir up the gift of the Holy Ghost that is inside of you, you will lose your inhibitiveness. You will lose your reservation. When the Holy Ghost gets a hold of you, you'll come out of that seat and you'll go after devils and you'll go after human spirits, and there'll be a boldness come upon you that will shake everything around. And that is my motive, and that is my goal, because I believe in you. 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 You've got it. You've really got it. Say, I've got it. Most of those out there are in a valley of indecision. Sometimes I wonder if we do not make too many trips to that same valley. When the spies came to Jericho, the Jerichoites said, "We knew you were coming and that you would defeat us. But what took you so long to get here? What an indictment! What an indictment! Is it possible that the devil knows we are coming? And that he will be defeated? But he is basking in the borrowed time we have given him. Why do we fear the devil? Why do we fear him? He has been on death row now for nearly 2,000 years. Do you hear me tonight? Do you hear me tonight? He has been on death row for nearly 2,000 years. He's like some mafia member trying to control this world from prison. And the Bible says the devil walks about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. That puts fear in some people's minds and hearts until you get to thinking about it. And when you get to thinking about it, you can put the thing together. All he's really got now is a roar. Because nearly 2,000 years ago, there was a man called Jesus who died an ignominious death upon a cruel tree. And when Jesus cried, "It is finished," the lion, the devil, he was declawed and defanged. He may gum you a little bit, but that's all he's got. He's not going to do much damage. All he's got is a roar. But while he's roaring, we're going to be dancing. And we're going to be shouting. And we're going to drown out his roar. We'll drown him out. Yes. Something is stirring in this house at this moment. Something is stirring. I think you ought to do that again. Just drown him out. That's it. We can do it every time we come to the house of God. We can do it every time we come to the house of God. We can drown out his roar. We can drown it out. Yes. Hallelujah. And I'm talking to several people here tonight. The next time the devil reminds you of where you came from and what you've done, remind him of where he's going. It has a staggering effect upon him because he's going down. But this church is going up, and we are the church. See, I like it. See, I like it. See, I can feel it. Jesus of Nazareth, I set you free in the name of Jesus of Nazareth.